let's move on a little bit, talking about Thanksgiving and about the things that we are to go and tell. I want to share some things this morning. I was thinking about this as I was getting ready this morning. I was thinking about some of the things to be thankful for. And it is so crucial that we are thankful. We'll get into that a little bit. But I just want to brag on the Lord for a few minutes about things that I am thankful for, about things concerning this ministry. There's many things I could talk about personally that I'm thankful for. But as a ministry, I want to just declare some things that I'm thankful for concerning what the Lord has done with this ministry. And back years ago in 2002, I am thankful that there was a man of God, a prophet of God, who came here in August, I believe it was, of 2002. Bishop Bill Hammond came here, and he began to prophesy. It was actually the first time he ever spoke within our fellowship, and he came here. He didn't know anything about us, and I had just met him. I think I'd met him just the night before and talked a little bit, and he came to minister at our church in the morning. The stage that we were at with this building, there was no gyprock on the walls at all. There was only insulation, and there was only vapor barrier and so forth on the walls. And we were kind of stuck. It seemed like the building program had kind of stuck at that point. Bishop Bill Hammond began to preach, and he began to talk about the Lord's house. He was talking about how you are dwelling in paneled houses, and the Lord's house remains in ruins. And he goes on like this for a long time, and then he looks down at me and he says, "Are you guys in a building program or something?" And I said, "Yes, as a matter of fact, we are." And that really stirred him, and he began to prophesy. And one of the things he said, "Now the Lord wants you in that building by Thanksgiving." I think immediately, Thanksgiving, wow, that's pretty close, Canadian Thanksgiving. But my thought immediately went to, he's an American, he wouldn't even have a clue when a Canadian Thanksgiving is, so that would give us a little more time, because U.S. Thanksgiving was a little bit later. So anyway, he prophesied that word, and the people of the church really took that word, and we went to work. Men, night after night, not just men, but some women too, we came and began to put the gyprock on the ceilings, and we began to paint the place, and by American Thanksgiving, we were in this building. And it came from a prophetic word that stirred the people. And I want to give thanks to the Lord for that. I want to thank God for his leading his people that way by a prophetic voice. Because when the people of God get a hold of the word of God, they will run with it very quickly. And it's much better when it comes from an outside individual at times. Because for sometimes people say, "Oh, that's just the pastor that says that." By the way, if that's your attitude, I really encourage you to make a shift in your attitude. Because even as I wait on the Lord and I pray and I seek God, I say, "Lord, let your people hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And I believe the things that I'm ministering to you, that the Lord is actually speaking to you and he wants you to pay attention." I believe with all my heart, it's not just Pastor Bill up here speaking many times. I believe that God is using me to be able to speak to his people what his people need to hear it at any given time. And I pray as a people of God, you'll take that in, you'll begin to mull over it and begin to understand the words that God is speaking to you. So I thank God for Prophet Bill Hammond, who came here and spoke. But even before that, I thank God for how he got us on this property. And I was thinking about this morning because, you know, part of thanks, being thankful, and part of giving glory to God is realizing that what has happened is so much bigger than what man can do. What's happened is so much bigger than what man puts their hand to. Man can put his hand to something, but if God doesn't touch it, the supernatural doesn't happen. But even as we, a small group of people, we began to, as some of you know the story about this particular property that we are on the 72 acres of property here, and the Lord spoke to the man who owned this property at one time, and he was sound asleep at night, and he woke up in the middle of the night, and he was sitting up in bed, and he said, "Lord, what is it?" Because this property was on his mind. And he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, talk to Pastor Bill about it. Well, that's all he said to him. So he came to me and he said, "I don't know what this means. This is what happened. So here I am talking to you." And so I said, "Okay, well, let's pray together." And he took me out and showed me the property and so forth. And I thought, it's a nice property, but it was actually early spring. and everything was mud, and we didn't really walk over the property or anything. But my thought was, this is too far away from town, because we owned a property in town, but this is too far out of town, so I wasn't really interested, I thought. And so I said, well, you did your part. You told me about it. You said, the Lord said, talk to Pastor Bill about it. You did, so now leave it in my hands. Unless the Lord speaks to me about it, I'm not going to do anything about it. So about 6 weeks later, the Lord began to speak to me about it as I was sitting in another, it was kind of a luncheon meeting with Graham Cook. And as Graham Cook started speaking, the Lord started speaking to me about this property. And he said, I want you to move on this property. I want you to begin your ministry on this property and use this property as a base for the ministry for what I've called you to do. And so when I heard that, when I really sensed that from the Lord, I had to go back to the man and I said, well, the Lord spoke to me. And he was actually pleased about it because he really felt strongly that the Lord spoke to him about it. And he said, well, what have we got to do to get the property into your hands? So we just made some maneuvers and we exchanged some property and a bit of money transferred and so forth. But then we got on this land. So the thing about it that I want you to notice is that it was God who initiated it. It wasn't initiated by man. It was God who initiated it, and we just kind of followed the instruction of the Lord. And so I thank God for the Lord leading us that way. I thank God for his hand upon us to get us here, to be on this property. There's still 72 acres that need to, I ask God, Lord, what do you want to do with it? What do you want to do with the rest of the property? And I keep getting stirred in my spirit that years from now, there will be many greater things take place on this property. And even maybe generations will be influenced by what happens on this property. And we're talking about history makers and changers. You're involved in this to see what can take place, the fruit that can come from it from years down the road. So I thank God for what he's done and bringing us on this property. Another thing I thank God for this many, many times, is that we have never had to go to the bank for anything that we have ever done here on this particular property. We have never gone to the world system in order to do anything that we felt God wanted us to do in this property. And I thank God for that. I especially thank God for that when I hear about other ministers who are concerned about the mortgages that they're dealing with, that they're paying for and so forth. I thank God that we never had to go there. That is a blessing of the Lord. We're in the time of Thanksgiving, so I felt I really wanted to share that with you this morning, because I don't take this as a small thing, what the Lord has done. I am tremendously blessed. I look around and I say, look. In fact, I was walking over here this morning, and I was walking, and it was so nice, such a wonderful day. I just lifted my hands and said, God, you're just amazing what you have done. The things that you have put your hand to, I say, look at what the Lord has done, giving glory to the Father, giving glory to God. Giving glory to God is part, or pardon me, let me back that up. Giving thanks is giving glory to God. When we express our thankfulness to the Father, we give glory to him. So I thank God for these things. I thank God for his hand of blessing. I thank God for the things that he wants to do in the days ahead. I believe that God is challenging us to deal with some spiritual forces in the spiritual realm that are going to open the door to the blessing of God coming into many people's lives. Open the door that will cause us to be able to run farther than where we've ever gone before. And I thank God for him stirring in our spirits to say, Lord, you want to do so much more. God is a good, good God. And no matter how many blessings that you have ever received in your life, you haven't received the best yet. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Are you believing for that? The best is yet to come. I believe in this ministry, but also individually. Be believing that the best is yet to come. God wants to use you far beyond what he's ever used you up to this point. And the question is, he's asking, are you willing? Are you willing to run with his principles? I know that as we are thankful, that opens us up to greater things. Well, there was a group of housewives compiled a list of things to be thankful for. And this is part of it. The automatic dishwasher, because they make it possible for us to get out of the kitchen before the family comes back for after dinner snacks. They said that we thank God for husbands who attack small repair jobs around the house because they usually make them big enough to call the professionals. We want to thank God for children who put away their things and clean up after themselves. They're such a joy, you hate to send them home to their own parents. We thank God for teenagers because they give parents an opportunity to learn a second language. I'm not sure what that one means. I really don't know. And the final was, they thank God for smoke alarms because they let you know when the turkey's done. Lots of things to be thankful for. Lots of things that God has given to us and brought our way. And we need to have a great sense of gratitude toward the things of God. Before we leave this morning, we're going to come up here. We're going to invite you, when we have community, come up here. And we're going to invite you to write out on these tables some of the things that you are thankful for. Just think about something that's really special to you and that you are so glad that God has done in your life, and write it out as an expression to the Lord. It's so important to release those things. It's more than just saying, I'm thankful in my heart. Well, whatever's in your heart, get it out. Display it so all can see, both in the natural and in the supernatural. Don't forget, the Bible talks about a great cloud of witnesses around us that sees the things that we do, sees the things that we say. So as we write those things, there's a cloud of witnesses also watching as well. And I believe with all my heart that as we give thanks for some things, that we actually impart more blessing on that thing that we're giving thanks for. I really do. I just don't talk about some of these things just to talk about them, but even sharing about being thankful for what God has done in this ministry. I know that when I'm doing it, I'm opening the door for greater blessing, for more of God to pour himself out upon this ministry. So we're going to do that a little bit later. But I want us to remember that the more successful you are in a given situation, whether it's in life or whether it's in generally in life or whether it's in business or whether it's in family, whether you're successful financially, the more successful you are, the greater need that you have to continually say, all glory goes to God. The more successful you are, the more you need to declare, all glory goes to God. It is Him who has given you the power to get wealth so that He might establish His covenant upon the earth. The more successful you are, the more you need to declare, it is God who has blessed me in this fashion. And if we refuse to do that, both before God and man, then we'll get ourselves into a place of pride and arrogance and think that we have accomplished such things. But no, God gives us the very air that we breathe. So we have every reason to be thankful. I don't care if you can see God's hand in it or not. You need to give glory to God, because if you can't see God's hand in your success, it just seems to me that there's something wrong with our vision if we can't see God in our success. Because God is the one who brings blessing. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and God will exalt us. Thankfulness actually increases our ability to receive. Giving thanks or saying thanks to someone else or saying thank you actually increases the capacity that we have in order to receive more. When we actually say those words, thank you, not only to God, to individuals, because we often demonstrate how thankful we are to God for what He gives by how easily we are able to say thank you to somebody else when they give to us into our hands. You see, everything that we do in a spiritual realm, we say we give thanks to God. Yes, Lord, we give you thanks for everything that you grant us. Well, we demonstrate that then in the natural by saying thank you. Somebody passes you a book. Thank you. Somebody does something for you. Thank you. Somebody gives you a gift. You say thank you. It actually increases our capacity. People who have an inferiority complex, they think it's belittling to say thank you. They don't think it. Let me put it another way. They don't necessarily think it, but they feel it. They feel it. And people who hold back thankfulness because they feel by saying thank you, it belittles them, actually are being led by their feelings rather than by faith. Say, saying thankful or saying thank you actually increases your capacity to receive from the Lord and from one another. From the Lord and from one another. I remember just recently I was talking to a man and I gave him something and he didn't, you know, need it in the natural. He's no doubt his bank account looks a lot better than mine, but I just felt led to give him something. And he had a difficult time receiving it because he wasn't used to that. But I said to him, I said, do you remember Jesus saying, it is more blessed to give than to receive? Well, I'm trying to give something to you now. Are you going to keep from me the blessing that I'm going to receive from giving to you? And he kind of looked at me and said, oh, well, if you put it that way, yeah, okay. Okay. You see, if you say thank you, if you're willing to express your thankful heart, it will give you a greater capacity to receive. You won't feel like you don't deserve it. You won't feel that way at all if you're quick to have a thankful heart and give glory to God. And the Bible tells us that we are to go and tell about the things of God. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In other words, let the redeemed of the Lord demonstrate to people around you what he has done for you. And by having a thankful heart, you are actually demonstrating a heart of God. You are actually demonstrating that you belong to your Father and that you count on him to release things into your life. You count on him to be a part of your marriage. You count on him to be part of your finances. You count on him to be part of your family. You count on him for everything. You count on someone else other than yourself. Don't ever let your mind get so big that you say, well, I'm a self-made man. I mean, that could go for women too. People have that kind of concept as if it's a great thing to be a self-made man. No, nobody's a self-made man. There are other influences that come. Even if you go down the wrong road and you become a tyrant, you're still not a self-made man. You allow the enemy into your life in order to turn you that way. Well, if you're also being very successful and you went with the things of God, you're not a self-made man. You allowed God to come into your life and to bring you to a place of blessing. And God wants to do that for all his children. God wants to do that for you because you have came into the family of God and he wants to bless you the way a daddy wants to bless his children. But we can continually tell of the goodness of God as we have a heart of thankfulness, heart of grace. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he has no sorrow to it, or he adds no sorrow to it. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow to it. Now that verse is primarily talking about finances, but rich has so much more to do with finances, with financial issues. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow to it. The blessing of the Lord, you see, you can become rich in other ways and have sorrow added to it. Or you can do it God's way, and when the blessing of the Lord comes, there'll be no sorrow added to it. What do I mean by that? Well, some people can't handle success. I remember years ago, a friend of mine told me about this farmer on PEI here who farmed many, many acres. And he was kind of an up and down kind of person. And when things were tough, as years passed, when potatoes prices would be really bad, and it would be really tough, and he would work hard, and he would build things up, and he would do the right thing, and things would become successful, and things would turn around, and even then he'd not only hang on, but do a little bit better than the normal in the bad years, and then when the good years come, wow, I think prosperity came. But when prosperity would hit, that's when he would hit bottom. He would hit bottom, he would turn to the bottle for one reason or another, and it'd be gone for days and perhaps weeks at a time. And the thing that my friend said to me, he said, it seemed like that guy could always handle the tough times, but he couldn't handle prosperity. He couldn't handle prosperity. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow to it. So if we're in a place of prosperity and blessing because we are walking with the Lord, then the downside doesn't have to be added to it. Jesus said this. He said, beware of the deceitfulness of riches. So there is a deceitfulness that can come in riches. So we want to make sure that we do it God's way, because if we don't, we're forever trying to get ahead. And just when we think we reach that stage where things are going good for us, the rug will come out from under us. If we haven't got our life lined up according to the principles and purposes of God. Remember, Deuteronomy 8:18, remember the Lord thy God, for it is he who gives you the ability to get wealth, that he may establish your goodness and your greatness and your prosperity. No. Doesn't say that at all. That he may establish his covenant upon the earth. So if we're going about it any other way than the principles of God, we are not in line with establishing the covenant, his covenant upon the earth. And that's what the blessing of God comes for. That his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when we do things God's way, the blessing of the Lord will make us be able to be fruitful in all the things that we put our hand to. We must be in a place where we can handle prosperity as well as rough times. If we don't, God's not going to want to bring wealth into our hands. And some people just cannot do it. John Alexander Dowie was a man who came from Australia, and God used to bring a revelation of the healing power of God, actually to North America as well as other places. John Alexander Dowie came and he began to preach in Chicago and began to have some great, awesome miracles, signs, and wonders following him. And the city of Chicago butt-headed heads with him. Of course, because some of the messages that he was bringing forth, some mobs, people were getting saved, and the other mobsters wanted to do something about it, and people who were hooked up with city council wanted to do something about it and wanted to get him out of there, and they persecuted him. And as long as they persecuted him, he was right with God, and he would give thanks to God, and there was great miracles and signs and wonders took place. But then the enemy took a different strategy. The counselors, the city counselors, started to bless him, started to give him places to be able to hold meetings and so forth. And then he started the city of Zion, just south of Chicago. And things were going good, and everybody was for him. And then it seemed like he began to think he was somebody greater than what he actually was. He began to get off on false doctrine. He began to respond to people who were criticizing him in a most ungodly way. And he got off in the ditch, and he finished very badly. It seemed that he got from the place of being thankful before God for everything that was taking place in his life to the place of thinking he was somebody, and then he refused to give glory to God. You see, if you are truly giving glory to God, you don't have to respond to your criticizers. You don't have to respond to those who speak against you if you're really giving glory to God. You just need to keep on doing the things that God wants you to do. And he missed it in that area because he refused to give thanks to God continually. And God had to take him home early, I believe. He wasn't an old man when he died. But we are here living in 2016, and God wants to do something great for you and I. And he's given us this awesome privilege of coming before him and with thankful hearts, giving him praise, giving him glory. As we do, then we are actually telling the world what God has done in our lives and what God wants to do in their lives. When we think of the message that Jesus said, when he said, go and tell the world, go and tell people, we immediately think about salvation. Go and tell people that they need to be saved. Go and tell people that they're lost and they're going to hell. Well, that may be part of it, but God wants us to also tell what he has done in our lives so people will have a grid to know and understand what he can do in their lives. As we continually give glory to God for what has happened in our lives, we are actually telling the story about the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually telling the story about the Lord Jesus. As we continue to share, Jesus is glorified in the midst of it. So to go and tell actually means to live the way God wants us to, and to treat people the way God wants us to, the way Jesus gives us an example to. One avenue of telling the story of the kingdom of God is giving thanks and prayer, and sometimes giving thanks in prayer. I know that, I don't know, I'm sure you do too. Many times the first thing that you do when you start praying is you give thanks to the Father. You thank Him for His goodness, His greatness, and who He is. And then you go into other areas of prayer. And that is telling the story, especially when you're doing it before someone else. But I read this story recently about a young man who was enlisted and was sent to a certain regiment. And the first night he was in his barracks, there was about 15 young men who passed the time playing cards and gambling. And before retiring, this young man knelt by his bed and began to pray. And he was praying for the people there, and all the rest of the guys began making fun of him. They'd throw their shoes at him and make comments about him and curse him and so forth. And so it was kind of difficult for him. And so he thought he'd talk to the chaplain about it. So he went and talked to the military chaplain about what was happening in the barracks. And the chaplain said to him, well, you know, those other 15 men, they have just as much right to be there as you do. And, you know, so if you find this is bothering you, you know, Jesus can hear you as you lay in bed as well, and just say your prayers quietly that people would notice and so forth. And so the young man left, and after about 6 weeks later, he ran into this young man again. He said, oh, how did it go with you after you met with me? And the young man said, well, to tell you the truth, he said, for the first two or three nights, I felt like a whipped puppy when I would get in bed and just pray on my own. And then the chaplain said, well, how did it work out? How is it now today? Well, he said, I went back to the way I was doing it before, and today we have a Bible study every night in the barrack, and three of the people are getting saved, and we're praying for the rest. So he didn't take the advice of the chaplain, who was afraid, really, to enter into any kind of persecution. But this young man was actually telling the story about God, telling the story about what God has done in his life, about telling the story about what can happen in their lives. He was actually expressing the change that God made in his heart by coming even before all these men, going to his bunk and kneeling down, unashamed of the gospel of Christ. He began to pray and prayed for those young men to be saved. And God met him because of his diligence. How many of us, I wonder, would have just crawled into bed and night after night said a quiet prayer, not wanting to have persecution at all? And I don't know how many of us would be like that, but I pray that God is raising up a people who will boldly declare that my hope is in Him. My hope is in the Creator of the universe. My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that He has done for me. And take a stand for Jesus in the midst of the world that is doing everything it can to snuff out any sign of our Creator being involved in our lives. Thankfulness gives you a greater capacity to receive from one another and from the Lord. Saying thank you. I want us to just remember this. Saying thank you to individuals as well as giving thanks to God. I don't see that a lot. I do take notice. I do take notice when I'm going out to eat with other people sometimes, and it might be peers. I always take notice how they treat the waitress. Doesn't matter what the waitress is like, but I always take notice whether people say, when they bring something to the table, whether they say thank you, whether they show appreciation, or so forth. Because when we are quick to say thank you and recognize the importance, the value of the individual that is serving us, gives us greater capacity to be able to receive from God, because God knows that if we'll use the things that He gives us with a thankful heart, He will pour more into our lives so that we can release it to others.